Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of The Mitopolis. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich. And this morning's episode is entitled, Job's Friends Interpret the Cause of His Suffering. It is interesting that when the three friends of Job, they have a formal sentence of respect for him and the ordeal which is going on in his life at present time. When they finally come to Job, they see what has befallen him is now chronic and not merely acute. And so we read in the chapter 2 of Job, beginning at verse 11, which reads, when Job's three friends, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, heard about all the troubles that had come upon him, they set out from their own abode, this is very key for us to understand, and met together by agreement to go and sympathize with him and comfort him. When they saw him from a distance, they could hardly recognize him. They began to weep aloud, and they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads. Then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and 7 nights. No one said a word to him. They saw how great his suffering was. It's interesting that Job is not recovering from a past traumatic event, but Job is within the midst of trauma. He is in the midst of wounding. And so when we read about the behavior of the three friends toward him during this time of profound distress, we are invited to admire them and to appreciate what they have done for their friend Job. In chapter 3, Job speaks about his condition. And it is fitting that at this point he does. And so Job is going to give us his viewpoint about how he is feeling, what is going on in his heart, so that we might know and grasp what he feels within his heart about his situation. It is important that we hear him, not merely with the head, but with our hearts. When we move to chapter 4, immediately Eliphaz the Temanite is going to reply to Job, and I'm not going to go into detail at this point about the reply of Eliphaz to Pastor Joe's soliloquy. Chapter 3, verse 1. After this, Job opened his mouth, hey, in Hebrew, and cursed the day of his birth. He said, may the day of my birth perish, and the night it was said, a boy is born. That day may it turn to darkness. May God above care not about it. May no light shine upon it. May darkness and deep shadow claim it once more. May a cloud settle over it. May blackness overwhelm its light. That night, may thick darkness seize it. May it not be included among the days of the year, nor be entered in any of the months. May that night, and notice how the light moves in verse 4 from day, in verse 6 tonight, and in verse 7 once again that night. Verse 8, may those who curse days and curse that day, those who are ready to rouse Leviathan. And verse 8 is a reference to professional mourners. May its morning stars become dark. May it wait for daylight in vain and not see the first rays of dawn. For it did not shut the doors of the womb of me to hide trouble or wrath from my eyes. Excuse me. Why did I not perish at birth or stillborn and die as I came from the womb? Why were there needs to receive me and breath that I might be nursed? For now I would be lying down in peace. I would be asleep and at rest with kings and counselors of the earth who build for themselves places now lying in ruins. The rulers who had gold who filled their houses with silver, well, why was I not hidden in the ground like a stillborn child, like an infant who never saw the light of day? There the wicked cease from turmoil, and there the weary are at rest. Captives also enjoy their ease. They no longer hear slave drivers shout. The small and the great are there. The slave is freed from his master. Why is light given to those in misery and life to the bitter of soul? And if you remember this word or this term, bitterness of soul is used. In the Word of God with reference to Naomi. And it is it means where or far. Those who long for death that does not come, who search for it more than for hidden treasure, who are filled with gladness and rejoice when they reach the grave. Why is life given to a man whose way is hidden, whom God has hedged in? Listen very carefully to these words. For sign comes to me instead of food. My groans pour out like water. What I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. I have no peace, no quietness. I have no rest, but only turmoil. Job is feeding on his grief. Notice verse 24. For sighing comes to me instead of food. My groans pour out like water. So Job is feeding on his grief. While there are some who will feed on tears, and that is Psalm 42, verse 3. There are those who feed on tears. But as immediately evident in the words of Job is the fact that he is now in a depressed state. This is Psalm 42, verse 3. My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. That is from Psalm 42. Please note that the believing ones do understand grief and sorrow. The believing ones do experience misfortune and reversal of circumstances, as in the case of Job. And so we are given privy to a very powerful reality in the lives of those who know God, both in Job chapter 3, verse 24, and in Psalm 43. Also, while Job, we find that while Job was feeding on his grief, and there are others who feed on tears, still there are others who feed on their sin. There are those who feed on sin. And in Job chapter 20, beginning verse 12, he talks about this reality too. But please keep in mind that we are presently studying Hebrew cosmology, and therefore we're dealing with that which is concrete rather than that which is abstract, and that which has to do with intellection, as in Western thinking. And so this is a very powerful cosmology and very profound for us. In Job chapter 3, verse 25, you read, What I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. There is no peace, no quietness. I have no rest, but only turmoil. Now, Job is a believing one. He is also an individual of profound, godly character. In other words, this is not mere theory with Job. He has an active and vital relationship to God. He knows he is conjoined with God. And yet, he finds himself within the crucible of suffering. And in the midst of stabbing and unrelenting grief. Please keep in mind, in chapter 2, verse 7, Job's body has now been afflicted with painful sores. We read, from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery, this is chapter 2, verse 8, and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. See, his situation is chronic. His station has not changed. He is in the midst of grief. then it would seem that God is not there, that God has not come to the rescue of his own. It seems that God is remote from his suffering. The symptoms of the physical symptoms of what has happened to Job, and notice, please notice that we read that in chapter 2, verse 7, that the Satan struck Job, that his affliction was horrible, that his illness included the symptoms of nightmares, and that is chapter 7, verse 14, chapter 7, verse 14. Even then, you frighten me with dreams and terrify me with vision. Verse 15, so that I prefer strangling and death rather than this body of mine. I despise my life. I would not live forever. Let me alone. My days have no meaning. Job had scabs that peeled and became black in chapter 30, verse 28. Chapter 30, verse 28. And he also experienced disfigurement. And he had a revolting appearance. So we see why he was almost unrecognizable by his friend. In chapter 19, Job relates, speaking of his breath, he writes, he states, my breath is offensive to my wife. I am loathsome to my own brothers. Even the little boys scorn me. When I appear, they ridicule me. All my intimate friends detest me. Those I love have turned against me. I am nothing but skin and bones. I have escaped with only the skin of my teeth. He goes on. He experienced excessive thinness and fever, chapter 30, verse 30. Chronic pain day and night, chapter 30, beginning with verse 11. And incessant weeping, chapter 16. And in chapter 17, Job experiences a broken spirit. And he says also in chapter 16, verse 2, that he is surrounded by miserable comforters. So please understand the compelling nature of Job's situation. And after Job delivers or speaks about the fact that he wished that he had never been born, or born stillborn, that he wishes that he had never seen the light of day, he is pouring out his heart. He is speaking from the midst of trauma. This is Job's experience. This is his immediate experience. This is where he is. This is his story. This is his narrative. This is the way he feels. This is highly emotional. And so he does not offer up his words with the expectation that someone is going to come along to in the midst of his distress to now tell him to look at what has befallen him from a different, from a viewpoint. This is new. And so when Job's three friends come upon the scene, they will offer a priori reason, or they will offer theoretical deduction about his situation. Now, they do not know the entire story. They were not privy to the court of heaven and what is really going on in Job's life and why Job is where he is. They don't know. And so when they set out from their homes and when they met together by agreement to go and sympathize with him and to comfort him, they also packed up their theory about what is going on with Job and why. And so they allowed, after Job speaks about his situation in chapter 4, immediately Eliphaz, the Temanite, replies to Job's words. He replies, and I say that purposefully. He replies to Job. Eliphaz has an his name is very interesting. His name means, "My God is fine gold." Eliphaz is the rash dogmatist. He is the rash dogmatist. "My God is fine gold." And so Eliphaz's approach to Job and his suffering is to put Job in a box that Eliphaz has fashioned. Eliphaz has fashioned a box, and the box that he has put together for Job is an interpretation of Job's raw trauma. This is very interesting. Chapter 4, verse 1. Then Eliphaz the Temanite replied, "If someone ventures a word with you, will you be impatient?" Listen to this. Think how you have instructed many. Let me begin again. If someone ventures a word with you, will you be impatient? But who can keep from speaking? Think how you have instructed many, how you have strengthened feeble hands. Your words have supported those who stumble. You have strengthened faltering knees. But now trouble comes to you, and you are discouraged. Notice the language. Notice what he said. Notice the pronouns. Verse 2. Someone ventures a word with you, or you. Verse 3. Think how you have strengthened your words. You have strengthened. But now trouble comes to you, and you are discouraged. It strikes you, and you are dismayed. Should not your piety be your confidence and your blameless ways your hope? Listen to this. Eliphaz is speaking this way to his friend who is in the midst of trauma. Verse 7, consider now who, being innocent, has ever perished. Where were the upright ever destroyed? As I have observed, those who plow evil and those who sow trouble reap it. And so the accusation is launched against Job. At the breath of God, they are destroyed. At the blast of his anger, they perish. The lions may roar and growl, yet the teeth of the great lions are broken. The lion perishes for lack of prey, and the cubs of the lioness are scattered. A word was secretly brought to me. My ears caught a whisper of it. Amid disquieting dreams in the night, when deep sleep falls on men, fear and trembling seized me and made all my bones shake. A spirit glided past my face, and the hair on my body stood on end. It stopped, but I could not tell what it was. A form stood before my eyes, and I heard a hushed voice. Can a mortal man be more righteous than God? Notice what Eliphaz is doing here. First of all, Eliphaz invites Job to practice what he preaches at the within the first 7 verses. Job's loss and stabbing grief is not a consideration to this individual. And then Eliphaz shows his true motive. Eliphaz relates to Job his experience with Yahweh, upon which he based his whole interpretation of life. We have to be careful and avoid those who make their experience the only test of truth. The Word of God does not change, but experiences do. We are all different, and Yahweh deals with each one in ways appropriate to our needs and natures and our level of maturity. Job's friends will seek to box him in, to hedge him in with their viewpoints. They have now changed their roles. Their roles will change from being just friends, as it were, to those who would interpret what his suffering is about, or what brought on his suffering. This is their therapeutic intervention. They each want to get Job to agree to an interpretation. Their collective view that Job has sinned, and sin is the cause of his misery. Paul Tillich says something very interesting and disturbing that I want to share with you. Paul Tillich wrote, "There is something in the misfortune of our closest friend that does not displease us. There is something in the misfortune of our closest friend that does not displease us." Now, that's a lot to take in, and that is a very difficult statement to appreciate. Job is going to have a rough time with his friend. You may have experienced a rough who have interpreted what has befallen you through their perspective.